The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's called PAD, peripheral arterial disease, and if you've got chronic leg pain, it may be time to get tested. Learn more at demanddebora.org. Call 609-621-2080 to schedule a screening.
I remember a decade ago hearing a lot about a slick fielding shortstop in the Phillies system. Wait till you see this kid. He's a magician with the glove, baseball people told me over and over and over. That kid is now a man. Freddy Galvis is 27 years old. He's married. He's the father of two daughters. And if it seems as if we've watched him grow up before our eyes, it's because we have. He signed with the club as a 16-year-old in the summer of 2006 and is now the longest-tenured Phillies player, still a dynamic fielder, and an important offensive contributor to the team. I sat down with Freddie recently to talk about his baseball journey from the fields of Venezuela to Citizens Bank Park. We talked about how he learned to speak English, how he developed those great hands, what it was like to break in with Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, and Ryan Howard, and even why Richie Ashburn would have loved him.
Well, it's a beautiful day here in San Francisco, California. One of the nicest stops in the National League. Beautiful ballpark. And Freddie Galvis is my guest today, and he's been coming here for years. Freddie, where does San Francisco rank among your favorite cities?
I have to be the maybe top five.
Top five?
Yeah, top five. I really like this place here. It's beautiful to play, and at nighttime it's pretty good.
At nighttime, it's cool here. What is your favorite city to go to?
Miami. I like Los Angeles too. Dodgers. I like to play over there. I like New York too. So those three places.
I love the atmosphere at Dodger Stadium. It's electric. It's alive. The fans come out every night. And you guys, you know, over the years have had some great games in that ballpark. Do you find it as a beautiful ballpark as I do?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good, man. I think, like you said before, the atmosphere over there is like pretty amazing. I remember the first time I went there, I see a lot of movie stars, a lot of singers, and since then, every time I go there, it's awesome, man. It's a new experience, and I always like to go over there.
You're a great fielder. What is your favorite infield to field ground balls on? Who has the best infield in baseball in your mind?
The best stadium, the best infield, I have to say, we have a pretty good one. We have Philadelphia's pretty good, man. It's one of the best, I think, one or two. And then I think the other stadium, San Diego. San Diego, you have a good infield too.
Good infield in San Diego. You're such a great fielder, and the Phillies signed you when you were 16 years old on your 16th birthday. And I remember talking to Sal Agostinelli, the international scout, and a couple of years later, Pat Gillick. Everybody said what an unbelievable fielder this young player is. But I want to take you back. It's hard to believe. You're still a very young man, and yet you've been in the Phillies organization for this is your 12th year. Is that hard to believe?
Yeah, sometimes when I look at it, I see like almost like 11 years, something like that. Yeah. It's really amazing. But I mean, I feel good, man. This organization treat me good along those years, you know. And it's a good ride, man. It's a good ride. Used to be here, use this uniform, and used to be with the guys designing me and see those guys every single year. It's pretty amazing. I'm in love with the Phillies organization.
You've become a man here in this organization. You were a young teenager, and now you're a man. You're father of two young girls. You had another daughter. You have Nicole and Anastasia. And Nicole was born about a month ago. Some guys take 3 days off. You took about an hour off, and we're back in uniform, and you hit a home run that night. What was that like?
It was amazing. It was a pretty good day, man. But I was talking with my wife before and said, like, if I was on the road, I wasn't available to go back to the hospital. But if I was in Philadelphia, for sure I was there. I don't know, man. My baby was born at 5 a.m., so I was like, right, I'm going to try to go home, rest a little bit, but I'm going to play today. And my wife said, I have my family in Philadelphia too, so they helped me. And my wife, she was okay with it, so I just went to back to the house, rest for like 2-3 hours, and then go to the stadium and play.
Freddie, the late, great Richie Ashburn, who I don't know if you ever met. I don't think you ever met Richie Ashburn, but Phillies Hall of Famer, probably the most popular Philly ever, center fielder, all-star, Hall of Famer. And then, you know, he had the second career as the broadcaster, and fans loved Richie Ashburn. He played for the Phillies for a long time. He had 7 kids. He was never there when they were born. He was always busy playing. And I think it used to drive him a little crazy when guys would take 3 or 4 days off to have a baby. He was like, you know, you have the baby and you report to work that night and you play the game. He would have loved you.
Yeah, I think one of the things I believe, first, I'm not a doctor. And second one, if I talk with my family and I have the support, I think it's going to be okay, you know. I have to work to do. And I know we have a three or four days off we can take, but I mean, if my baby is good and my wife is good, everything is good, I should go to the ballpark and play baseball because that's my job and that's where I'm gonna feed my family, you know, and that's what I love to do, and that's what always I have on my mind. If I have the opportunity to be on the field, I'm gonna be there.
Did you get the ball? And were you able to keep the ball from that home run?
Oh yeah, they gave it to me the next day, and then actually we're thinking to do like a little thing and back in the house with the jersey, the ball, and a picture of Nicole too.
But little girls are great, and then they turn about 14 or 15, and they want your credit card. So you know,
it's just yeah, that's gonna be for sure, man. Right now it's just my wife, but in a few years it's gonna be like 2 more daughters, you know. So that's what I'm working for, man.
Freddie, you know the rules are different in Latin America. In the States, kids are drafted out of high school or drafted out of college. And where you're from in Venezuela, a scout can, you know, see you at 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, say, I like that kid, build a relationship with that kid, and then sign him on his 16th birthday. And that's how it happened with you. And I've always found your story to be very interesting from talking to Sal Agostinelli, some of the other international scouts. I believe Sal first laid eyes on you in a junior tournament, maybe in San Martin, when you were 14 years old. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's when San Agostinelli saw me. But I think one of the scouts from Venezuela, they saw me before. I think like when I was like 14 years old. And that's when I started playing in the Little League. And so they saw me over there. And then the next year, when I was 15, Sal Agostinelli, he went to San Martin to see a tournament, and he was there and he saw me too, and he was with the other scout from Venezuela. So at that point, I think before that we built a good relationship, my family and the Phillies organization used with the scout over there, and that's one of the things that. That's why I'm here right now, you know.
Who was that other scout? I want to make sure we mention him.
We got Rafitza. He's now working with Texas. And we have Chalao Mendez.
Chalao Mendez. He was always a big Philly scout in Latin America. And the story, I guess, you know, Agostinelli and Chalao built a good relationship with your dad, who was your coach. And he wanted you to be a Philly, and you kind of had an agreement for a while, but now some other teams start coming in the picture before you turn 16. What was it like on the Phillies and on your dad to try to keep those teams away, and why ultimately did you keep your promise to the Phillies?
I mean, for us, from our family, it's easy, man. Like, when you put the war is there, you know. So at that point, like I said before, they treat really good my family, and they treat me really good. I mean, I remember that I always I was going to play in some places. They I don't know, they give me the breakfast, they buy me a Gatorade or whatever. So what's those little things, you know, they become like more person. Mm-hmm. And I remember at that point I have more money on table from other team, you know. And my family and me, we decided, like, no, we stay with the Phillies and we're going to stay with the people we like.
Well, that's an awesome story of loyalty. And I think, you know, the Phillies are loving you back a little bit. You've been here a long time. You're a regular shortstop. I mean, you're well paid. You're going to have a long career. You're going to make a lot of money. I mean, I think that was... I admire that loyalty. What was it like? I mean, when I think of Venezuela, I think of a baseball hotbed, you know, great talent. I remember when I was a kid watching the Boston Red Sox, Luis Aparicio finished his career with the Red Sox when I was a kid, and he, like you, was just a fabulous, fabulous defensive shortstop. Omar Vizquel, who did you grow up admiring in Venezuela?
Always watching Omar Vizquel. At that point when I was young, Omar Vizquel was in his bigger years, you know, and he was winning Gold Glove and another Gold Glove and another Gold Glove, so I was like trying to do almost everything I had in practice, try to catch it, try to jump over the runners and try to make every play. And then I become a switch hitter. I start hitting left and right. And I just was watching that guy. Then a little bit, I start watching Jimmy and Jose Reyes for a little bit, too.
So Jimmy Rollins was somebody. Did you watch as a kid or when you were a Phillies minor leaguer?
I think when I was like 14 years old, 2004, something like that, 2005, and Jimmy was in his years. I remember him like making good plays, hit a lot of triples, running stolen bases, and then he won the MVP 1 year.
07,
yeah. I was in the organization already, and I was like, wow, that guy is really good, you know. And I always saw those guys playing that, but I have to say, my first guy I always was watching playing baseball was Omar Vizquel.
And what was it like for you, your rookie year, you played second base aside of Jimmy? What was that like playing with, you know, it wasn't Omar Vizquel, your number one hero, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. It was an amazing experience. Actually, it was the second time I was in the spin training in the big league, so I know him a little bit, and then when I have the chance to play with him, it was amazing, man. Just try to pick a little thing from him and try to not to do the same he do, but try to copy a little bit his game, you know, and try to put it to my game. And but was a pretty good time at that point.
And your dad was your coach as a kid. One of your coaches, I should say. How did you develop those good hands? Did he hit you just 1,000 ground balls a day?
No, I remember. Yeah, my dad was my when I was like 6-7 years old. He was my coach, and then we have a Cuban coach, and then we have a Elvis Andrews stepfather. He was the coach for the Venezuela team in Little League always. So my good father, he bring him to Punta Fijo, to my hometown, to practice our team. So at the point he get there, we start practicing like more professional, you know. So I remember he was like real hard on me, like you have to catch the ball and make good throw. That was the whole goal, because he said you're gonna play shortstop and we need you to catch the ball every single time and make the out. That's how we're gonna be good, you know, just playing defense. So at that point it was like every day taking grounders. I remember we take with a glove, and then I remember he put a ¿cómo se dice madera?
Wood.
A piece of wood in my hand.
Like a wood plank, like a paddle.
Yeah, like a paddle. And he put it in there in my hand, and then he makes some holes between my fingers. And then he put one laser between my fingers, so he stuck it to my hand. So that way I have to catch grounder like that. You know, at the beginning it was hard to catch it like that because it was, you know, it's something flat. But I have to really concentrate and catch that ball right there. And then after a little bit, I was catching the ball. And then he said, now we're gonna catch it without sound. You don't have to, the wood don't have to sound. You have to be like soft. That way you're gonna create a good habit. And then after that, I just started catching. And then after like 1 year, the wood didn't sound.
Now, I just want to paint this picture. It sounds almost like I'm holding a notebook in my hand. Picture a small notebook or like a ping pong paddle being attached to your hand with shoelaces.
Right there.
And he wants you to catch that ball deflected into your throwing hand without making a sound.
Yeah, without making a sound. And the first time the goal was just catch it. Try to stop the ball right there with my other hand, you know, on the top. But at the point I was taking runners and was catching the ball, was becoming easy to me. Now the next step was catch it without sound. So I have to be like really soft with my hand. And
do you still do that drill as a major leaguer in the off season or?
No. It's been like 4 years or 3 years. Like I don't do anymore. But now in my mind, it's just like I have to catch the ball and make them sound. My glove doesn't have to sound. So that's on my mind every single time I take rounders in practice and I take rounds on the game. So I have to be like really soft with my hand.
So it trained your mind and your hand to make quick exchange to your throwing hand and soft hands, no sound. That's a great drill. I mean, that's just. And at what age did you start? I mean, you signed. You play second base alongside Cesar Hernandez. You guys signed on the same day in the summer of 06. What age did you first meet Cesar?
Around 14 years old. 13, 14 years old. I remember I went to play to Valencia, and I stayed in his house. And then from there, we become friends. We play against each other. He was a pretty good shortstop at that point, I remember. And since then, we become friends.
You didn't know he was going to sign with the Phillies, correct? And then when you showed up at Instructional League or Academy, you were like, hey, there's Cesar.
But 1 year before we signed, so this one when we was 15 years old, and we started doing tryouts together because the Phillies, they was scouting him too. And then I remember I don't see him like for 6 months, something like that. He started like doing tryout with other teams. And then like 3 months before we signed, he came back with the Phillies and he started making tryout again. So it was like, all right, maybe we're going to sign together. And we signed the same day.
That's a really neat story. Now you guys are a double play combination in the major leagues. When you were young kids, weren't there tournaments where you would stay with in his house with his family and he would stay at your house with your family?
Yeah, most of the time I stay in his house because we go to play in Valencia. So I stay in his house and with his family.
That's a great. And do you think growing up together and knowing each other when you were young has helped your chemistry on the field as major leaguers?
Oh yeah, for sure, man, for sure. When you have one player next to you, like you know, for like 10 years, 15 years, something like that, the thing become easy. It's like I said before. It's just when one look, we know what we have to do, and just when I just give him my hand, I move it to my side, my hand, whatever, he know where he's going. He just look at me, he moving, all right, I'm moving with you. That kind of little stuff, you know, it's something you can have, but after playing with one guy like for 5-6 years, and we have that since we was like, I don't know, like 16, 17 years old.
So you can communicate and get your message across with a look. I remember Chase and Jimmy were the same way. It's amazing what can happen when you're together so long. As a young athlete, you were not just a baseball player. You played soccer, correct?
Yeah, I played soccer. I played basketball. But then I stopped playing soccer because my father, he don't like it. He said it was too dangerous for my knees, and that you just keep playing basketball and baseball.
But you still love soccer because I see you walking around with soccer uniforms on, like during batting practice and stuff, Philadelphia Union and some Latin American teams. So it's still close to your heart.
Oh, yeah. That's my main sport to watch, man, soccer. I love soccer. All my friends back in Venezuela and my brothers, they love soccer, so that's our hobby.
What do you recall about being a young minor leaguer, your first time coming to the United States? I mean, your English is very good. You've worked really hard at it. I mean, I know I have great respect for the players who come over here and try. I remember talking to Bobby Abreu about how difficult it was when he signed out with the Houston Astros, and he told me his only two words of English were bathroom and chicken when he signed. What was it like, you know, what's it like on a young guy coming to a new country and having to learn the language?
It's tough, man. At the beginning, it's tough. You try to communicate. You try to do some stuff, and at the point, you get a little frustrated, you know, because you can't communicate. You can't get the food you want. If you want to say something to the coach and you don't know how to say it, it's like really hard, you know, especially playing baseball. I remember one of my toughest years was in Williamsport, my first year when I was 17 years old. I stay in a host family, a really good host family. I always keep in touch with those guys too. And I was eating the same food every single day. You know, I was like stopping the gas station, chips, something like that. And
sheets?
Yeah. I think
the gas station, yeah.
Yeah, gas station. They have like a board where you can order your food.
Yeah.
You know? And I was eating the same food like every single day. Every single day I go to the road trip or whatever, because if I went to the restaurant, I didn't know how to order food, you know? So after like 3 weeks, I was like, there's no way I'm going to keep doing this, you know? I have to start speaking English, try to learn, you know? And I remember my whole family, she started to help me. She was like, right, you're speaking English, I'm gonna try to speak in Spanish. So at that point, we was like, you know, like crossing some words and try to speak in. And after that year, I remember I have a surgery in my shoulder, and after that year, 6 months later, something like that, I was speaking a little bit English.
Like I said, I have so much respect for that, because learning to play the pro game, baseball is, gosh, it's such a hard game. And learning to play, here you are, you're trying to learn to hit sliders on the black, and you also have to learn English and how to get around them. It's just so much on your plate. It's really a
war. Yeah, for me, it was more easy to go to the field and play baseball. That was my free time. It was at the time they put me on the field, at the time they put me to the shortstop, I was like, all right, I'm a free person right now. I can do whatever I know, you know, whatever I have to do, I know what I'm going to do because I'm on the baseball field. But the problem was when I was outside of the field, because I didn't know how to order food and all that kind of stuff, communication. And that was my biggest problem at the beginning. And then, I remember, yeah, like I said, 6 months after something like that, I started speaking a little bit better, and then I just tried to practice every day.
And now, I mean, your whole maturity level, 10 or 11 years in the system, when I look at that clubhouse, when I look at that field, I think you're this team's leader. I mean, do you feel like your leadership skills have evolved and become, reached an impact level?
The only thing I feel is like, for me, you just play baseball hard every single day. I think if you play hard every single day, I think everybody's going to follow you. And they're going to show the way you have to play baseball. That's what I learned from those guys like Chase, Jimmy, Howie, Chuch, all those guys. It's not too much about talking. It's not too much about doing stuff outside of the field. It's playing baseball. It's what you do on the field, you know. If you go hard every single day, I think people is gonna walk with you and they watching that. So I think for the young guys, they're getting here to the big leagues, that's the way we have to do it. We want to change this around, we want to be a winning team, we want to be a World Series team, you know. And we have to play every day for 24 hours. You know?
You mentioned Chuch, and he gets traded last, I guess it was August. And I remember speaking to you, and you were telling me what a great impact he was on you and all of the other young Latin players when they come to the major leagues. You mentioned how your first trip into every city, he would make sure you got to the right door at the stadium, because, hey, these stadiums are big. You got to know where to go, where the clubhouse is. And he took you out and bought you some suit so you'd look like a big leaguer. And do you, now that you are sort of the quote-unquote elder statesman among some of the young Latin players, and there's a whole bunch of young Latin rookies here, do you kind of pass that wisdom along to them now?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. That's something like we have to do. Like you say before, Chuch was the one who helped me, like really helped me with everything. So right now, when we have a young Latin guy coming to the big leagues, we try to help those guys too. We try to pass that to the young guys.
That's terrific. I mean, that's like you learn it and you pass it down to the younger generation. I think that's what makes baseball great. One of your big, I know you'd love to win a Gold Glove. You've improved your on-base percentage this year by, I think, about close to 30 points. I mean, that was one of your goals in spring training. I'm sure Gold Glove is higher on your list. I'm sure you'd love to win one of those.
Yeah, every time you play a position and you work every day, you want to, if they have like Gold Glove, if they have that, you want to win. Like you said before, that's one of my thing on my list, but I think the bigger thing is winning World Series, man. One of my biggest thing was win a championship back in Venezuela, and I went last year and we won it. And one of my thing was win a championship with my team when we was like really young, like we was like 12, 13 years old, and we won it. We won a championship in Bangor, Maine. A World Series, and now the only thing and the next thing I want to win is a World Series. I hope everything go good and we can win.
You played winter ball for Zulia and this winter, and they won the championship in Venezuela. First time in how many years?
I think like in 17 years, something like that, 18 years. The last time they won a World Series, Jimmy was his shortstop.
Jimmy Rollins
was his shortstop.
Was that the Caribbean Series or did he win the Venezuelan title?
A Venezuelan title. He was the shortstop with Aguilas de Zulia. I think that was in 2000 or 2001. And now we won it last year.
And then, you come back to the major leagues and the Phillies are in a rebuild. How tough is it on you? You've been in the big leagues 5 years and the wins have just not been there. When you were a young kid in the minor leagues, they were winning World Series and going to World Series. And, I've spoken to you after games, and I can see it on your face. The losing, it crushes you. I mean, what's it like to go through this?
I mean, nobody likes to lose, That's, for me, like, every time I came here to the field, I expect to win the game. And that's the reality, But you have to understand the time, You have to understand, like, we're passing to a certain time where we are like rebuilding team, we try to put the right pieces, and then I think from there you take off and compete again. I just try to stay focused every single game, try to help the other guys getting here and play the best baseball I can.
I think coming up this winter you'll be in your final year of arbitration, and then after 2018, next year you will be a free agent. What do you, and they have a prospect in J.P. Crawford coming, we all know that. What do you see as your future with the Phillies?
I mean, like I said before, I can predict the future, because I'm not God. But for me, I'm just going to keep playing baseball hard every single day, try to do the best for my team. And, whatever happened from there happened. But my main goal right now is just try to help the team to win more games and try to get this team to go in the right direction and try to do my best, just be myself and play baseball.
Play well and everything will take care of itself. You'll have a long career and you'll win. You'll challenge for a title like you want to, like you dream about, like you did in Venezuela and did as a youth player. Here with the Phillies, Larry Boa was a shortstop, a legend in Philadelphia, and he's the infield instructor. I know you're very close to him. You've worked with him for years. He's tough. He's like that tough teacher you have in school that if you get an A from this teacher, you really earned it. He really is a big fan of Freddy Galvez. He thinks you should win a Gold Glove. He just loves the improvement you've made over the last 2 years. What is your relationship with Larry, and how good does it feel to know that, you're kind of winning his approval?
It's pretty good, man. It's pretty amazing. Like you said before, he's like a really tough person. He always like to you have to for him, you have to play hard every single day. You have to make your work. You have to take your grounder. You have to do everything the right way. And I think it's the way it should be, you know. You're a professional player. You're representing a city, you know. You're representing a team with a lot of history. That's the way it should be. You have to play hard every single day. You have to practice to get better. And that's his mentality. Thank God, you know, I have the opportunity to play for him, you know. And he helped me a lot. He changed my career like 2 years ago. And I hope he keep doing that with the other players too, you know. And for me, I have a coach like that back in Venezuela too. My coach in Venezuela was Marcano Trillo, Jesus Marcano Trillo, you know, and he was almost the same person. He was a really tough coach. So coming here and now see Bo, I know he's just almost the same person with the same personality, tough guy. The only thing they have in the mind is to win, you know. And I think that become more easy for me because I have Marcano Trillo before, and now I have Larry Bowa. And like I said before, I think it's really good. It's pretty good relationship we have right now, and he's gonna keep playing baseball hard for him, you know.
Well, you mentioned representing a team, representing a city. You represent the Phillies and the city of Philadelphia very well. Congratulations! Thank you for being with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, man.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with Freddie Galvis as much as I did. He's one of my favorites. I'm Jim Salisbury. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time at the Yard.
It's called PAD, peripheral arterial disease, and if you've got chronic leg pain, it may be time to get tested. Learn more at demanddebora.org. Call 609-621-2080 to schedule a screening.